Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. I'm so glad that you're with us today. If you are a visitor with us, we ask that you would just fill out the card that's in front in the pews so that we know that you've been here and that we can contact you and just to say thank you for being with us this morning. Also, we have a whole sheet of announcements. So rather than going through each and every one of them, I just ask that you would look at those and to see the important things that are coming up for us as it's a busy, we're getting into a busy winter season. And so we invite you to look at all those different places. But again, I'd like to lift up the mission trip for you, that if you're interested in helping out in the men's mission, that you contact Dick on that. We have I have a liturgist list that is out on the table in the narthex there. If you would like to or be willing to read scripture for us and do the announcements in the morning, please make sure you sign up. Dave, I've already signed you in. You're already written in there. So, we could use the assistance with that. And if you would like to do children's moments sometime, I invite you to do that. And young folks, it's for you too. If you guys are high schoolers or college kids and want to help out with that, that's a great way to get involved. You can find more out more about us on Facebook or on the web, and the web address is on the back of your bulletin. Are there any announcements that need to be lifted up this week? Yeah, Tana.
The Make Your Way meeting is going to be here at our church tomorrow. We're still, if you're interested in joining, it's Wednesday, October 7:00.
So that's the Made to Crave, and it's going to be here tomorrow. Okay. So that meeting is over here tomorrow. And also, just a note, if anybody needs to get a hold of me, to please make sure you can get my cell number off the machine. But I will be in Findlay for our district committee on ordained ministry all day tomorrow. So I won't be in town tomorrow. You can get a hold of me, though, on my cell phone if you need to. Any others? Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Be with us, O Lord. May your spirit be on us. May we feel your presence here. Gracious God, your spirit is welcome in this place, and we look to your presence to be on us. We pray, O Lord, that this is a blessing to you and to everyone who's come this morning. We pray it in your name. Amen. God's love is higher than the sky.
God's faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds.
God's righteousness is stronger than the mountains.
God's justice is deeper than the seas.
In God's love we are safe.
In God we find life and light.
Our hymn is Many Gifts, One Spirit, number 114.
Thank you.
Each one of us brings our unique gifts into the congregation. May we celebrate that by greeting each other in the name of Jesus. As we sing Jesus Loves Me, we invite the children to come forward, please. Guys, how are you doing this morning? Pretty good? Yeah? You guys are getting rested up, getting ready back to school tomorrow, huh? Yeah, well, this morning we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible tells us that God gives us gifts, and each one of us has a special gift. Well, I was going through my table the other day where I keep my mail and stuff, and I found this letter. And it's addressed to me, and it's still sealed. I haven't opened it yet. Do you think I should open it? Yeah? You think so? Okay, well, let me see if I can open it right now. Oh, let's see. It says, today is a good day. Today is a good day, isn't it? All right. Well, let's see what it says. Oh, it's an invitation to a party. It says, come to my party on December 24th, 2015. I have gifts for everyone. Oh, no. I missed it. I got an invitation to something, and I didn't open it, so I didn't look at it, and I missed the party. And it said there was a gift for everyone. So how do you think? That doesn't feel very good, does it? Have you ever done that, where you missed out on something? And you felt pretty bad about it? Yeah. Well, I'll let you in on a secret. That's not a real card. I made that up myself. But sometimes we do that. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit gives us each a gift. And when we're baptized, the Holy Spirit gives us a gift, not like a present, not like Indominus Rex. You know what an Indominus Rex is? From Jurassic Park? Is that the one that it comes from? Yeah. I forget what the big toys were this year, but it's not like a toy. Yeah, not like a Star Wars thing. But it's a gift that helps us, not for us, but for other people. So sometimes, some people may be, how many of you guys like to be play teacher? Yeah. Maybe that's your gift, that you're a good teacher. Or maybe you can just, you know, how many of you guys are good at comforting somebody when they're not feeling good or when they're sad? Yeah, maybe that's your gift. So it doesn't do you much good if you're a good comforter and you don't use it to comfort anybody, does it? So the Bible tells us that all of us have gifts, not for us, but for each other. So that when we come together, we can, we work together, and that we build each other up and we make each other feel good and tell each other things and teach each other and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes, if we don't know we don't have it, we don't use it, right? So one of the things we're going to have to do is start to look at and see what our gifting is, what we're good at, what we're really good at, what God has given us to do, and begin to see how we can use that. And that's what I'm going to talk to the adults about today, is how they're going to use their spiritual gifts that they've been given. So let's have a prayer, and we'll thank God for the gifts that he's given to us. Gracious God, we thank you that you give gifts to each of us, no matter how young and no matter how old, we all have a spiritual gift. And we thank you, Lord. We ask that you help us to open our eyes that we might see whether we're good at comforting people or teaching or preaching and all kinds of different gifts that you give to us. So we ask it in your precious name. Amen. All right. One of the ways that when it's not a gift, it's not a spiritual gift, but it is a gift for us that we get our suckers and we take two of them because one is for us and one is for somebody else. And when we give it to somebody else, we tell them about God's love. And that's a gift we can all use. And who hasn't done that? Who hasn't helped me in a while? You want to? Okay. All right. And I believe there's Sunday school today, so you can be dismissed for that. Is that right? Yep, they're there. Okay. And now we gather our time. This is our time where we share our praises and the things that God's been doing in our lives and our concerns. And so I'm not sure I asked for prayers for my brother-in-law last week. He has cancer. He had a surgery. It went really well. He's healing and at home, and so that's a great praise. Other praises are way in the back. Can you go back and see Mr. Ed back there? All the way back. So you get your exercise doing this job.
A sign that I'm getting really old, my oldest grandson will turn 9 on Thursday. That's Nate.
Miss Kathy right here. Yeah.
Just wanted to update you. We put Dad in the hospital yesterday. He got up yesterday morning and had a nosebleed, couldn't get it stopped, called Jim over, and Jim tried to pack it and get it stopped. He couldn't get it stopped, so took him up to the emergency room, and when they got him up there, they got it finally under control, kind of, and then they decided they were going to admit him. So right now, which scared me when I went up to visit him with Carrie, they told me he was in ICU 2. I hear ICU, and that scared the crap out of me. But I think they're just keeping him there for observations. They got one test back before I left late yesterday afternoon, and his Coumadin level had went up over 3.0. It was well over it. And they said the max they want is like 2.3, and that's where it's usually been. So whether he got mixed up and took an extra pill, don't know. He doesn't think he did. But anyways, we're trying to figure out what that is and trying to get that back under control. So right now, he thought he'd get dismissed today. I don't seriously think he will, but just keep him in your thoughts and prayers.
Is he Van Wert?
He's in Van Wert Hospital. If there's any further problems, chances are they're probably taking him to Lutheran. That's where most of his doctors are at that he doctors with.
Thank you. Keep us informed.
I'd like for you to keep Carla Spielman, her parents are Carl and Rosalind Spielman, in her prayers. She is in Lima with some severe health concerns.
Carla Spielman? Spielman.
Please keep the Angie Harmon family in everyone's prayer. That was a tragic loss we lost this week. And also keep Steve and Shelley Holden and Karen and Mike McClure as they lost a very dear friend.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers, their cards, and phone calls. Thank you very much.
Tuesday was my mother's birthday. Wednesday was my mother's birthday. Wednesday.
I'm not sure whether this is a joy or a concern, but it's a piece of advice for all of you churchgoers here and my friends. Hide your keys from Pastor Melissa. Wednesday night, we come to choir practice. I put my coat and keys on the front pew like I always do. Go back and get me a glass of ice water. We're ready. Choir practice is over. I'm ready to go home. Can't find my keys. Nowhere. So I'm frantically looking everywhere, and suddenly here comes Vicky. Keith, we got your keys. Pastor Melissa had picked them up. But now here's the best part. She walked to church.
I have to tell you, if you think we don't have fun in choir, and what they're not telling you is that I was standing in the back when we realized that I had his keys. So, and then he was looking for him. He thought he left him on. And so I came out here and I just whipped him at the pew. Vicky was the one that came out and saved him, not me. I was like, just go tell him that he forgot him and that he just didn't see him. So, any others? Right up here.
Oh. Yeah, I'd like to give an update on Jasmine. I got a text Friday from her mother, and she's up walking with a walker, and she walked 110 feet, she said, and was doing well, and she's off her oxygen, so that is a real good blessing. And also, my grandson, RJ, is 22 today, so.
Oh. So that makes 9 look really young, yeah. Right? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for the joy. There is joy in Jesus, and there's joy in the community of believers, and we give you thanks for that. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us, especially the gifts of friendship and community and birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations, Lord, and all those places that we take for granted at times, but we know are very, very special. We thank you for healings that have happened in the community. We thank you for being with those who've gone through surgeries. We ask, oh gracious God, that you continue to be with those who continue to heal. And we especially ask your hand on Glenn as he's as the doctors are trying to find out what's going on with him. And with Gail, Lord, that you have been with him. And we thank you that you've been with all those folks to be with Carla, Lord, and Kevin, and all those folks that we've lifted up this morning. Lord, in our hearts, we know that there are many, many more, and there is a hurt and broken world that we continue to keep in prayer, just knowing that we spend each day in faithful service to you. We pray, O gracious God, for those who grieve. Our hearts break, especially in sudden deaths, Lord. We don't understand and we don't know. All we know is that you don't take our loved ones from us, but that we're humans and we're mortals, and that you, in the tragedy of death, Lord, you reach across the time and space, and you have made it a miracle, and you bring us into eternal life. So there is no sting left in death, O Lord, but it's hard for us to remember. It's hard for us to grasp. It's hard for us not to mourn and not to grieve, and as we reflect on those that we've lost and know that it leaves a hole in our hearts that we can't fill. So fill our hearts, O gracious God, that you are the only one that can bring us into completeness. Help us to not get over it, Lord, because we never will. but help us to use our own pain and experiences to help and comfort and guide others as they go through the process. We especially lift up Shelley and Steve, Lord, today, and those who knew and loved Angie, and this community that I've seen come together in a strong and powerful way. Be with their family and their loved ones. Lord, in the midst of all of these things, we pray not only for this community, but for the community at large, and for all the prayers that are on our own hearts. We ask, O gracious God, that as we sit for a moment of silence, that you would speak to us. Gracious God, we pray for the world, especially for those folks overseas, the places under attack, the places of violence, senseless violence. Oh, gracious God, we know that you're not the God of war and of violence and of death, but the God of love and perseverance and self-control. Help us, O gracious God, to find ways to spread peace around the world. We're grateful, Lord, for those Americans that are coming home. And yet we know there's so many places that we still need to work on in our world affairs. So hear our prayers. Hear our prayers of peace. Hear our prayers for those who suffer, for those who are oppressed, for those who are hungry, for those victims of the tornadoes in Florida this morning, and for all of those who struggle with everyday life issues. We pray these things knowing that we pray in unity as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand to sing our next hymn, number 550.
Thank you.
invite you to stay standing for the gospel reading.
The reading today comes from John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there, six stone jars of for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons, Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the stewards tasted the water, it had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves a good wine first, then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his sign of Cana of Galilee, and revealed the glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Amen. You may be seated. God has given us many good gifts, it's true, and we, in return, trust in God, returning to him what he's already given to us. May I have the ushers come forward for our offering.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen comes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God,
God of abundance, you have poured out your gifts upon this community, giving us what we need to work for your justice, peace. In gratitude and joy for these gifts, we offer you the gifts of our living. We offer you the gifts of our money for the transforming work in this world. We offer the gifts of our lives for the healing of all people. Amen. You may be seated.
Our spiritual gifts is the scripture for today, and it's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now considering spiritual gifts, brother and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God that activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit's for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the Spirit, and another gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the inspiration of tongues. All these are activities by one of the same Spirit. All allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may these words be your words, and may they be a blessing to you. Amen. Usually I want to go, you know, today we're talking about the spiritual gifts. And it's interesting, but my spiritual gift is not preaching. I am not an organized thinker. I don't think that way, and that's why I usually use a manuscript. But I believe in the power of God, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that God has been telling me since I've gotten here is to affirm in you and to lift you up and to help teach you and bring you back to a faith that we can count on, that we can believe in, and that we can trust is true. Dave, can I have your Bible for a second? I'm just picking on Dave here. Look at this Bible. I've seen a bunch of these here. I've seen a bunch of Bibles like this that are marked up, written up, bent up, and well-worn. And that is something that I think is so important for us. Look, I want church. One of the things I think is the biggest problems that we have is that church has become some other place that we go to on Sunday. Or you know, it becomes sometimes a little like we're going to Rotary or going to the Lions Club. But what we need to know is that we believe in a supernatural God that did a supernatural thing in the course of history through Jesus Christ, and that he has given us supernatural gifts. And I think that we operate sometimes as if we come to church and we don't expect much. We're like, oh, well, I remember coming to church and thinking, boy, it's a good Sunday when we sing a song that I know. When it's a song that I know and I can sing it, well, it's a good Sunday. And if the preacher says something that doesn't bore me out of my mind, then that makes it that's just icing on the cake. But we don't come together expecting, I mean, do we really realize that God is here? Do we know that the Holy Spirit is present with us? When I went to Unity, can you see me? Does this bother anybody? That I'm not standing up in the pulpit? Okay. When I went to Unity, I knew that they were in deep trouble. I knew that they had financial burdens and they had some administrative problems, and that was part of the reason why I was sent there. What I didn't know was that they were an incredibly spiritual group of people, that the Holy Spirit was tangible, everywhere when they came together. You knew it. You felt it. And I felt it here, too. The first time I came to visit with you, when I came for your anniversary, you could feel it, and you know what I'm talking about. You know those days when the Holy Spirit is just so present, it changes things. Well, I remember one time, when I first got there, we had two missionaries from Cuba, Jose and Yami. Jose and Yami had come as missionaries, and so one Sunday, Jose was preaching, and, you know, he was giving a great sermon, but in the whole time, his wife Yami was wandering around praying for people, and just praying in general, and she came up, and I had been there long enough to know this woman's story and to know what was going on with her, and, you know, but Yami didn't. She didn't know any of us, really. She knew the preacher, and that was about it. And some of the folks in the Hispanic service. And so she didn't know, and she was walking around, and she finally came and stopped in front of this one woman, and she put her hand on her, and as soon as she touched this woman just broke out and wept and cried. And she said that she then put her hand on her head and her hand on her side. And the woman just wept. Now, I knew that this was a woman who'd been molested by her brothers. And then she'd been raped by her brother's friends. And that when she went to tell her parents said, "That can't possibly be true. I don't know why you'd make that up." And even if you had gotten in trouble with his friends, then you'd gotten yourself in that situation. This woman had been broken her entire life by these life events. And as a result, she was a woman without boundaries. Her family was so enmeshed with her that she did everything to please them. Well, later, after the service was over, she stayed. She stayed to speak with Yami, and Yami had said to her, and I'll never forget it, she said, "When I put my hands on you, something black came out of your stomach and came out your mouth." And she said, "I know, I felt it. I've been released. I've been liberated." And I was there long enough to see that it changed this woman. It completely changed her. Now, that sounds weird to us. That seems kind of odd. We're like, okay, now, you know, you're getting into the kind of weird spiritual stuff. But it is amazing how accurate and how little we expect from the presence of the Holy Spirit with us when we come to worship. That we come, we expect, sometimes I think that we think that this is a consumer kind of thing, that you pay for the preacher to come and preach and that you just sit back and take it in. But the reality is that this is really something, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for all of us. How many of us have the gift of healing? How many have the gift of teaching? I knew, Warren, you'd put your hand up there. Really, my gifts are in comforting and teaching and exhorting. They're really not in preaching. But we all, every single one of us, the Bible says the most striking, the most shocking line in the verses we read today was that to each and every one is given a gift. How many of us use our gifts? How many of us even know that we have gifts? Now, when Paul was writing this, of course, he was talking to the church in Corinth, and the church in Corinth was in trouble. They were fighting over the gift of speaking in tongues because these folks had been pagans like last week. So they came into the church. It was a new church. They were babies. They didn't know anything about it, but they knew ecstasy and that kind of ecstatic worship that they did as pagans. If you know Corinth, Corinth was a place where they had the temple of Aphrodite. They had the temple of Apollo. They had the temple of Isis. They had the temple of Zeus. They had all these temples, and even the temple of Aphrodite had 1,000 prostitutes attached to it, and at night they would come down into the city and sell their trades. And so it was all over the Greek world, it was a slander to be called a Corinthian, to live like a Corinthian. There was a song, to live like a, you know, but it, a what? Egyptian, yeah. But this was like a real, to be known, to live like a Corinthian was to live in drunken immorality and drunkenness. Their forms of worship were really wild and really out there. And I know it would make all of us uncomfortable. But because they remembered and valued these rantings of the pagan world, they thought that when God imparted the gifts of the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues, that they were better than anyone else, that that was the best gift they could have been given. And they ignored all the other gifts. Now, today we don't have that problem. In fact, we have the exact opposite. If somebody started speaking out in tongues in here, my guess is people would quietly move away from them and sit as far away as possible, maybe keep moving to the back, you know? And it's not because we don't believe it. It's that we've never experienced it. How sad it is for me that we come to church every week and we don't see any of the gifts. Now that's not to say that we're not using them, because Warren, I know you're teaching, and I know Keith, you with your music, and Linda, and I could name you all on and on that folks who are using your gifts. But in corporate worship, we're not usually, you know, it's kind of like, well, we're going to leave it up to Pastor and see what she does today. How's it? What breaks my heart? What breaks my heart more than anything is that God has given each of you a gift. That God loves you and calls you and gives you a gift to use, and yet we don't bring it to the church. We don't bring it to each other. We kind of hold on to it. We kind of think, well, maybe it is my gift. Maybe it isn't my gift. I don't know, you know. And maybe wouldn't that be weird? What if my gift is speaking in tongues? And how would I know? I've never done that. You know, and we think as Methodists, you know, I love to think that, you know, I've served churches in Northwest Ohio for a long time. I think we're like East Coasters. You know, we kind of like to, you know, we don't like to clap too much. We don't want to get, you know, my thought was to ask you guys, who loves Jesus? And your response would probably be like, me? Because, not because you don't, but because we're just trained to be cultured. And so we don't do a lot of things out of, like, the ordinary. We don't do a lot of jumping up. We don't do a lot. It's just not who we are as people. But sometimes we take it too far, and we limit the spiritual gifts that are in us. And how sad it is that we have a church and folks who might not ever know that they have been given a gift to use. And how crazy amazing it is when you discover your gift and you get a chance to use it. I don't know how many have experienced it. I don't know how many who need to experience it. But the church needs to hear it. The church needs to be comfortable. In the early Methodist churches, we used to have these things called camp meetings. Warren, you know about camp meetings? In the camp meetings, even in the Methodist church, we had people who spoke in tongues, who did healings, who put their hands on people. Now, you know, I will tell you that since I've been here, we've had incredible healings. We had somebody who was diagnosed with cancer that went in for their second set of scans, and we laid hands on them and prayed over them, and they came back with the doctors could not explain it. They couldn't explain why this person had come back with negative results the second time. We've had all kinds of crazy healings. And you guys know that. So, you know, we want to say, oh, wow, those are some good doctors. I'm telling you that there is power in prayer. There's power in using our gifts, and the gifts of healing, the gifts of teaching, and there's so many of them. So what I want to leave you with today is that I want our Sunday experiences to be a time when you come to church and you participate, that you say to yourself, you know what, I'm coming here to learn something, to be a part of something supernatural. I'm coming to be touched by the Holy Spirit. I'm coming to be led. I'm coming to be changed. I'm coming to be transformed. I'm coming to be forgiven. I'm coming to offer grace. Not coming to sing a song. Judge the pastor. And that's my hope. If you don't know about spiritual gifts, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I have a list of really good books. And maybe we could do a study on that. And that they will, that most of the books have a self-evaluation in it that you can do and to discover your spiritual gifts. But my prayer is that, like, the folks who come up and share in the liturgy, that maybe somebody else's gift is prayer. And that they would come up and say, you know what, I'd really like to do the prayers over the people. And, you know, that we'd be able to use our spiritual gifts. Now, the spiritual gifts are for the body. You know, we know that the church is dying. Not just the local churches, but the mainline denominations. And I think that part of the reason is that we're not using the spiritual gifts were given for the body, for the building up of the body of Christ. It is for the church what blood is to our human bodies. And if we're not using them, we're dying. And so what my hope is that Convoy United Methodist Church becomes a church that is deeply spiritual, that we don't shy away from spiritual gifts, that we don't balk at expressing ourselves, that we want to be involved, and that we see church as not something that we go to, but something that we participate and are called in and called together in. And that is my prayer for us this morning. So if you would like more information about that, if you want a list of books to pick from, if you're interested in a study on that, let me know, and I'd be happy to. And maybe we can put it up on the website and some of the resources for you. Because this is critical for us as we move forward, as we go in, that we know our spiritual gifts and we share them and bring them, each of us in our own way. Yeah.
I'd like to give a testimony on this of what she just got done saying with me. 3 months ago, I went to the dentist and I had a white spot on my gum. And he asked me to go and get it surgically removed and checked out because he thought it was cancer. And I called up after he gave me the paperwork and set up an appointment. And they called me back. And they said that my insurance, they did not carry. And I had a prayer with the Lord. Well, the 29th of December, I went back to Dr. Jeffrey, and he done the exam that I've been going back every 3 months to get done on my mouth. And he told me, he said, that white spot is not there anymore. And I just said, praise the Lord. So if you've got, the spirit in you, and you pray, he will take care of it for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. With that, let's stand for our closing hymn, number 400. Our hearts are sealed for the love above, for the courts above. Go in peace. Embrace your gifts. And you share them with a hurt and broken world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.